But now, the life of Mary Sutton. Mary left for Chicago to see Dr. DeRoy, a famous specialist, whom she hoped to persuade to come to Sanders and examine Phyllis, Max's crippled sister. She is unaware of the fact that the doctor has reserved seats on a plane leaving Chicago at 8 o'clock. Ironically enough, Mary's train arrives in Chicago at 8. As Mary speeds along to what will no doubt be a great disappointment, things have been happening at home. As you'll recall, Max, Mary's husband, was once somewhat of a hoodlum. His love for Mary changed him into a devoted husband and father. But a few months ago, a gambler by the name of Cheney came to Sanders and involved him in a gambling syndicate. Max pretended to be friendly with the gang in order to apprehend the ringleaders, but his intentions were misunderstood, and he was arrested as one of the mob while Cheney escaped. Yesterday, this man, Cheney, paid Max a surprising visit. He told Max he wanted to give himself up. This puts Max in a terrible predicament, because once Cheney is in jail, Max will have to stand trial along with him, and it is quite possible that with the circumstantial evidence against him, Max may receive a severe prison sentence. Today we find Cheney and Max still discussing Cheney's startling decision. A storm is raging outside, but a storm of a different nature is raging inside the hearts of these two men. Max has just told Cheney,
you can't change the world. The whole thing's run kind of like a card game. Somebody has to lose so the other fellow can win. That's the way life is, that's all. We just have to play the game the best way we know how. The fellow that loses shouldn't squawk.
I guess you think I'm squawking, Max, because you turned around and got yourself the kind of life I'd like.
No, I don't. I can't blame you for wanting to go straight. Any guy with brains can see that's a smart thing to do.
But the way things stand with us, if I give myself up, you might have to go back to jail, too, huh?
Well, what can I tell you, Jane? I can't tell you to stay a mug and keep on playing hide and seek with the cops, and someday one of them tags you with a piece of lead. I can't say that.
We're in a spot, pal. I wish your lady was here. I'd like to talk it over with her.
Yeah, Mary might think of something.
She'd say I ought to get myself up.
I guess she would. She likes things to be on the left.
When do you expect her back from Chicago?
Well, I don't know. She took the trip trying to do something for Phyllis. Depends on how quick she does it.
See, how is the little lady? I thought about her a lot. And how's her kid? She ought to be big by now.
Oh, the baby's fine, but the serum you went after didn't help her much. She's just crippled. For life, I guess.
No.
Yeah, that's why Mary went to Chicago. Just when I get some famous doctor to come and take a look at her. We've been trying to get him for weeks, and we couldn't get any action.
You mean he didn't come running to help the little lady?
He didn't even answer our phone call. Mary says he probably didn't get him, and I don't know, he's a big shot.
A big shot, eh?
Yeah, Mary's been trying to talk to him. Maybe she'll get him to come. Well, maybe she won't.
I don't see why he should be so tough. That little lady deserves the best there is. Oh, you remember that night a baby was born?
Boy, I won't forget that man a long time. I was so nervous, I bounced.
Yeah, me too. Having babies is an awful strain on a guy.
Yeah. Say, you look terrific, though, pal. Oh, when the doc said he needed that bug juice to save her life, you hopped in your plane and got it here pronto. Just like in a movie.
So what? It didn't do much good?
Well, we still have her with us. We wouldn't have if you hadn't given us a hand.
Maybe she's got a chance to be cured, Max. You know the gag about while there's life?
Well, we got plenty of hope. That's about all that kept this going.
Does your wife think this fancy doc she went after can get the little lady back in her feet?
Well, she don't know. Nobody knows. I hear to let Mary make the trip to Chicago, but I couldn't go and it comes out on bail.
Say, as long as she's there, maybe I'll take a run up and get her advice on what I ought to do.
No, don't do that, Cheney. Mary's got enough on her hands right now.
Well, I'd like to get some advice somewhere. I got to decide pretty quick.
Well, you do what you want, Cheney. It's your life, and I can't tell you how to live it.
What's that?
Huh?
You got mice here?
No, maybe it's Daddy. He's staying overnight with me. I'll go see. Hey, Daddy. Daddy, you called me? Hey, Let's get sleep. I guess we don't hear anything.
Say, who left the front door open? Hey, Cheney, did you? Hey, Cheney, where'd you go? Hey, pal, you out there?
Come on, Larry. Take it easy.
Hey, wait a second.
He's gone. I wonder what he's going to do. I couldn't tell him not to get himself up, but it's sure an awful break to have him come back right now, of all times. Here, I got the new factory on my hands. Phyllis needs this doctor. I need money for the whole family. If Cheney goes and turns himself in, they'll put me in jail, and I won't be able to do a thing.
Now, while Max ponders what action the strange man Cheney will take, let's travel to the Plaza Dearborn Hotel in Chicago, where Dr. DeRoy is stopping. Mary is just coming.
May I help you, madam?
Oh, thank you. I was looking for the house, sir.
Yeah, just over here to your right.
Thank you. I wonder if you could give me Dr. DeRoy's room number.
It was Suite 316, but the doctor has checked out. He left for New York on the 8 o'clock plane.
Oh, are you sure he left?
Positive. I heard his secretary make the reservations myself.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
You're perfectly welcome. No, Larry, I'm so sorry for that girl that just left. Looked as if the bottom had fallen out of everything.
Well, what was mine, Mr. Dalton?
He wanted to see 316, but he's checked out.
316? Dr. DeRoy?
Yeah. Took the 8 o'clock plane to New York.
No, he didn't. They're stolen. Up on plane transport. He's not leaving until tomorrow.
Well, let's see if you can catch her. There, she's just going toward the door.
What's that?
Yes. Yes. Just a minute, please.
Are you calling me?
Yes, there's been a mistake. Dr. DeRoy is still here.
What?
If you'd just come to the desk, Mr. Barnes will try reaching for you.
Oh, thank you. I will.
I'm awfully sorry this happened, madam. Through some oversight, I wasn't informed that Dr. DeRoy is staying
on the desk. Oh, that's all right, as long as he's here. I'm sure he'll need to know that.
I'll ring him for you. Who shall I say is calling?
Mrs. Sanders. He doesn't know me, but tell him it's urgent that I speak to him.
I'll be glad to. Hello. Connect me with 316. Thank you. I imagine his secretary will answer. Do you wish to talk to him?
Yes, anyone can introduce the doctor.
Hello, 316? There's a Mrs. Sanders calling Dr. DeRoy. Shall I put her on? Thank you. Just a moment. Mr. Hoffer, his secretary, will speak to you. Just pick up one of the house phones.
Oh, you're very kind, thank you. Hello, Mr. Hoffer, this is Mrs. Sanders.
Yes, Mrs. Sanders.
I'd like to speak to the doctor, if I may. I'm anxious to have him see a young girl who needs his attention.
Oh, I'm very sorry, but it is too late for the doctor to take any case here in America. We sailed for Switzerland first.
But, Mr. Hoffer, I'm sure he'd want to help this girl if he knew the circumstances.
Madame, I too am sure he would be only too glad to do what he could if he was staying in America.
Well, couldn't I please speak to the doctor personally?
So that is impossible. The doctor is very busy.
But I'll only take a few minutes of his time. Please.
I'm sorry, madame.
Tell him I'm a friend of Mr. Jesse Barton. I think Mr. Barton told him about this girl.
Just a moment. I'll see what I can do.
Oh, you must be. I just can't go back to Sanders without him.
Hello? Are you there?
Yes. Did you speak to the doctor?
Yes. He remembers Mr. Barton mentioning the case, but he regrets that time will not permit him to see it.
Oh, what does time matter? Someone's life is more important.
My dear madame, I'm sure there are very good doctors here in America. They go to any one of those.
But she has such confidence in Dr. DeRoy. She's heard so much about him. I know if I talk to him, I can make him understand.
Madame, it is absolutely impossible. The doctor must retire early because we are leaving on a 6 o'clock plane tomorrow morning.
You won't let me speak to him for just a moment?
I cannot. I'm very sorry.
No, wait, please. You don't seem to understand. I came a long way to see the doctor, and I must see him. I'll sit right here in this lobby until I do.
Well, it looks as if Mary is going to have a difficult time trying to see the doctor. She's determined she will see him, but his secretary seems equally determined that the doctor must not be disturbed. We're very much afraid Mary may be in for some heartbreaking disappointment. We wonder, too, how she'd feel if she knew about Cheney's strange visit. It seemed that the old adage about
It never rains, but it pours. It's true right now.